All right. Let me go to part four. We've been doing When God Said No. Part three was last week. I've got two more parts at least today and next week. When God Said No, part four. We're going to be coming. Our text is going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 11 is the account where David was doing essentially everything right. You know, he did almost kill Nabal, but hey, that was another, you know, the Lord kept him from killing Nabal. The Lord struck Nabal and Nabal died. But David came to second Samuel chapter 11, and it starts out, it says, in the spring of the year when kings go off to battle, David stayed at his house in Jerusalem. And we see David, we're coming to the downfall of David in his life. We're going to look at the situation when God said no to David, why God said no to David. Amen.
Amen.
Let me just bring us up to, because I don't want to read the whole story. It would take too much time to give the total backstory. But the upshot of it is, David saw Bathsheba. He desired, coveted his neighbor's wife. He killed Uriah the Hittite, took his wife and, impregnated her. And this thing did not please the Lord, the scripture says. And so God sent to David, Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan told him, gave him a word picture. And David said, well, this man who's done this awful thing, he's surely going to die. I swear by the Lord he's going to die. And Nathan said, you're the man I'm talking about, David. Hey. And so Nathan told David, he said that the Lord was going to bring up that the sword would never depart from his house. He said, you know, you slept with your neighbor's wife in secret. He says, I'm going to do it with your wives in the sight of the sun. It came to pass later with Absalom and all that. And most importantly, God said to David, he said, because you have done this and caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, he said, the child that is going to be delivered to you, it's going to die. It's not going to live. And we pick up with it in 2 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 15, and we read this, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. Now I can see, I can hear all kinds of questions. People read the Old Testament. They say, what? Did I read that right? Why did the Lord do this? The Lord struck the child. Not to mention, can the Lord make people sick? Does the Lord make people sick? You know, all these questions. Why did the Lord do this? Well, the Lord did it because of judgment upon David, upon what David had done. So David's reaping something now that he sowed, and is coming as judgment upon David. Now, what I want to point out is that what we're seeing here in the Old Testament is a covenant man, David, who has given himself to the works of his own flesh. And God's saying, what we're seeing here is that God's saying the works of your flesh are not going to remain before me. I'm going to put, that's going to come death to the works of your flesh. Just as Ishmael, we saw it with Abraham when we looked at the, what would have been, I think that was the first one we covered, the first when God said no. Just as Ishmael would not carry on the covenant that God established with Abraham as the work of Abraham's flesh. You remember Sarah and Abraham got together and said, we're going to do what God won't do. God won't give us a son. So we're going to have a son ourselves. They did something in their flesh and Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael would live before you. God said, no. God said, no. Here we come to the life of David. In 2 Samuel, a few chapters earlier in chapter 7, God established a covenant with David. He says, your sons will never cease to sit upon the throne of Judah. So God established a covenant with David. Now David wants this child of his flesh to continue. And God says, no. So just as he said to to Abraham concerning the works of his flesh, the firstborn son of David and Bathsheba, the work of his flesh in sin would not carry on the covenant God established with King David. We'll see it as we go farther. The fruit of David's sin would not become the ground of which God continued his covenant with David. Let me say that again. The fruit of David's sin would not become the ground upon which God continued his covenant with David. It would be by grace. It would be by grace. God's covenant with David would be by grace, not established upon the works of his flesh. This is what God said in the verse before. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is to be born to you shall surely die. God told David this while Bathsheba was still pregnant with the child. Child wasn't born yet. God says, this child's going to die. This child's not going to remain. Some people look at that and say, man, are you serious? God really did this? Yes, God did that. Yes, he did that. Say, well, but how, what, isn't that mean? No, it's not mean. The reason that God established the nation was of Israel, he created Isaiah 43:7. He created them for his glory. They exist for his glory. Guess what? All things exist for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. When David failed to keep the covenant that God had established with him, that we're talking about the Mosaic covenant now, because he broke all kinds of laws doing what he did, God passed judgment upon him. You know, sometimes I often wonder to myself, when somebody dies in a hurricane, somebody dies in a car wreck, people go, where is God when all this happened? My question is not where is God, why did God keep him alive? I'm questioning like, God, why aren't we all dead? Well, because we all broke your law. We're all sinners. None of us deserve life. But what does God do every day? He gets up, he said, Jesus, man, my Father causes the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust. Mm-hmm. He said, my Father causes the rain to fall upon the wicked and the righteous. God is sustaining everyone on the planet by his grace.
Man.
Which we deserve nothing of. So when somebody dies by means that we don't think, be careful now. Be careful. God is good. God is keeping everyone. And when he decides that someone's going to leave, well, we thank you for the life that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for sustaining us all these years. But we have no place to say, why did God? I can't believe God did this. We're judging God on our standard, which is no standard at all. Hello. The wages of sin is death. The New Testament tells us. David's sin against God brought reproach upon his name. And God said, the child that you're going to have, that child's going to die. I'm going to take it. That child is going to die. In sin, David took the life of a man. Unlawfully took the life of a man. Due to the outcome of that sin, the scorning of the name of the Lord, David lost the life of his child. Hmm? Well, we go on, and I know the question comes, can the Lord make people sick? Because he said here, the Lord struck the child that Uriah bore to David. The wife of Uriah bore to David. Well, as I always say, the Lord can do anything he wants, right? And it's lawful because the Lord cannot sin. The Lord can do no wrong. But in Exodus chapter 4, when Moses was making excuses for not being able to talk right, he said, oh Lord, please send somebody else. I'm not eloquent. My mouth isn't good. So the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute? The person who can't speak. Interesting, the people that the Lord chose here. Who makes the mute, the deaf, the person who can't hear, the seeing, or the blind? Out of the four that he chose, God chose three who lack the ability to speak, see, and hear. God said, who makes them? Have not I the Lord? We look around today. We look at people and we say, my God, how can, why is it like that? Hmm? in the New Testament, Jesus' disciples attributed it, saying, who sinned, Lord Jesus, this man or his parents? Jesus said, neither. In that one case, we know that neither, nobody sinned. It was, that man was in the condition that he was so that the glorious works of God could be performed on him through Christ. The reason we can't perceive of God making mute or a deaf person is that we would never want to be in that condition. So we can never see God make it. Why would God? But God has a purpose for allowing people to be born that way. God has a purpose for allowing people to be born that way. Okay, then we go on. The question moves from can God make people sick to does the Lord make people sick? We know God can do anything, but does the Lord make people sick? And to that, we hear in the New Testament, we would say, a house divided against itself cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. The Lord doesn't make his people sick, and then on the other hand, turn around and heal his people at the same time. He doesn't do that. We don't see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus was the most comprehensive image of God the Father. And Jesus did not go around making people sick. Jesus went about around healing all who were oppressed of the devil. It was the devil who was making people sick. And sin made people sick. Jesus would say to people after he healed them, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. People were sick because of their sin. All right? We saw a few examples in the Old Testament, and all but one of the examples I'm going to show you have to do with judgment coming from God as sickness upon his people, upon his people. So we see in 1 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 6, but the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors. Now these were not covenant people. These were the Philistines. And God struck them with tumors. So can God make people sick? Absolutely. Does God make people sick in the Old Testament? Absolutely he did. He did it with non-believers. But here he did it with believers in Numbers chapter 12. This is when Miriam and Aaron were criticizing Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. He married a woman of color, and they weren't having it. They were like, hey, you ain't the only one who can hear from God. We can hear from God, too. You ain't had no business marrying this woman. God came down and had a few words with the three of them. And the scripture says that the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed, when God departed from the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. God struck Miriam, a covenant woman, his child, his daughter. God struck Miriam with leprosy. Can God make people sick? Absolutely. Did God make people sick in the Old Testament? Absolutely. Does God make his people sick in the New Testament? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Remember I said that all but one of these instances, God is bringing sickness upon his people as a form of judgment. God was judging Miriam and letting her know, you sinned against me in what you did in coming against Moses. Because he established Moses, and it was perfectly fine for Moses to marry that woman. So God did bring sickness upon his Old Testament people. 2 Kings 15. Then the Lord struck the king. Which king? This is King Uzziah. You remember the king who was so brazen? He thought, I want to be a priest. I want to go into the temple and offer sacrifice. I want to offer incense to the Lord. And the priest said to him, it is not for you, old king, to offer incense. Get out of here. And they saw leprosy break out in his forehead in the temple. Now that's unclean. Leprosy is unclean. You're not supposed to be in the temple. So the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelt in an isolated house. So this was the king of Israel. actually, this may have been the king of Judah. God's covenant man, but God struck him as a form of judgment. He struck him with sickness in the Old Testament. Then we see in 2 Chronicles 21:18, after all this, the Lord struck him in his intestines with an incurable disease. Amen. And I believe this is the account where the man's intestines actually fell out of his body, actually came out, and he died a very painful death. The Lord struck the king of Judah with an incurable disease. He made him sick. In the Old Testament, God's people were struck with sickness because of their sin. In the New Testament, God's people are sick because of the effects of sin in the earth. Not as a judgment for sin, because all of our sins have been forgiven. You understand that? So, but we're dealing with the fact that the Lord struck this child of David, this covenant man. And I wanted to show you that that's consistent with what God did in the Old Testament, even with his covenant people, as a form of judgment against them. There's one instance, well, there's a couple instances. One instance of sickness in the New Testament and more, but they're not with his covenant people. At least one isn't. And I'll show it to you now, which is Acts chapter 12, verse 23. Then immediately the angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. So scholars believe that this man, the angel of the Lord, gave this man a sickness. And this sickness by, he was caused worms to come and he died. Could have been gangrene, could have been anything that caused the rottening of the body, and he died. But what we want to see is that the angel of the Lord struck him. The Lord did it. So can the Lord make people sick? Absolutely. Does he make his new covenant, New Testament people sick? Absolutely not. Because the people in the Old Testament became sick as judgment upon their sin. All of our sins have been forgiven. Therefore, God does not make us. It's kind of like the question that Melody asked a couple few weeks ago about generational curses. There's no curse associated with being in Christ Jesus in the New Testament. Why? Because Jesus became a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. Becoming a curse for us, for cursed is anyone who hangs upon a tree. So there's no judgment. So God isn't making us sick. That's why everyone was running to Jesus to get healed. Everyone was running to Jesus to get healed. He wasn't making people sick. He was healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. Right? Now, the one instance in the New Testament that I was mentioning, John 9:1, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? The Jews were used to people's sickness being caused because of sin and the judgment upon sin in the Old Testament. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. That's why he was born blind. The Lord had a purpose for which this man was born blind, that God would be glorified through his healing by the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus not only knew why this man was born blind, but he also knew that it was not because of the sin of the parents. Amen.
Amen.
That tells me when I look upon every person, I have to realize that God has a purpose for their being. Every person. Jesus looked at this man and knew that God had a purpose for him being. And when I look around, when I walk out, when I walk out in the everyday world, everyday life, and I look at another human being, I'm saying, Jesus know why this person is here. Oh, yes. Jesus. Oh, and if we're listening to him, amen. He made us all in his image. Psalm 21 says, the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the people and they that dwell therein. All people belong to God. So, because the Lord struck the child with sickness, we read this in the next verse. David therefore pleaded with God for the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. David pleaded. The word plead means to search out by worship and prayer, to strive after. This was an emotional time in David's life, emotional seeking, as he's pleading with God. He's saying, oh, God, please don't do this. God, please spare this child. We get the same word pleading. We understand it in Genesis 43:30, when Joseph, as he revealed, was going to reveal himself to his brothers, as he saw them in remorse, having thrown him, having sold him into slavery. They still don't know who he is, and he's you know, they can't see him because of all the makeup the Egyptians wore and everything. And Genesis 43:30 says, and Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, that'd be Benjamin. And he sought for where to weep. He sought for a place to weep. And he entered into his chamber. He was emotional. He was searching for a place to weep. David was emotional, pleading with God for this child. You can only imagine Bathsheba is weeping too. She's distraught because the child is sick. God has already told David the child was going to die. So David enters into this extensive pleading, 7 days of pleading with God. David pleaded with God to allow the works of his flesh to endure, because this is what has to be understood about David's pleading. David was pleading that the fruit of his sin would remain before God. And God was not having it. And I know people say, well, isn't that, that's cruel. It's cruel that God would take the life of the child. That's cruel. When God revealed, was it cruel when God in Genesis chapter 6 said, the end of all flesh has come before me. They're all wicked. I'm sorry I made them. All they do is kill one another and sin. And he said, I'm going to destroy the whole earth. Any Christian would say, yeah, the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to be destroyed. So when God, when David is pleading with God to allow the works of his flesh to endure, God says no, and there is, God is absolutely just in his determination. He's absolutely just. He said, but the child didn't do anything wrong. No, exactly. No, David did. David did. It's the same thing with abortion today. The child didn't do anything wrong. No, but the parents did. Let's be clear. The parents did. And one generation's sin has effect upon another generation. It's just the fact of the matter. So David's pleading with God to allow this child to live, but God said no. God said no. Look at the New Testament when we get to the works of our flesh, being born again of the Spirit of God. Paul said this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh and what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set what the Spirit desires, set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. This child that David had in the works of his flesh would die. The works that we do in our flesh, they do not produce life. They produce death. This is what Paul said to the New Testament Christian. And this is what we are to extrapolate from the covenant man of the Old Testament, who is pleading with God for the works of his flesh to endure. God said no in the Old Testament. He says no in the New Testament. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. David was in the realm of the flesh when he sinned against Uriah, murdered him, coveted his wife, committed adultery with her. David was in the works of his flesh. Therefore, the fruit of the works of his flesh would not endure. That's why God took the child. That's why God said no. He said no. The works of the flesh did not endure then, and the works of the flesh are not going to endure now.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
That the Lord promised that, in my mind, David's also thinking about this, that the Lord promised him that his seed would sit upon the throne of Israel forever, upon the throne of Judah forever. That God would not continue his covenant with David based upon the works of the flesh. Just as God would not continue his covenant with Abraham based upon the works of his flesh, Ishmael. Hello. Do you see how the works of the flesh in the Old Testament correspond with the works of the flesh in the New Testament? Not only here in Romans chapter 8, but Paul told the Galatian believers, he said, I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, the works of the flesh are these. He listed them all. Galatians 5:22. He lists the works of the Spirit. Right? So David was in his flesh when he did what he did. He cried out to God mightily for 7 days, and God still said no. Then Paul goes on and writes this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You will live. Right? And so now we understand why David is pleading with the Lord. He's pleading with God, and God for 7 days. And if anybody, I mean, you know, David had a way with God. David prayed to God. David was delivered from a lion and a bear. David was delivered from Goliath. David called upon the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all of his enemies. But God would not hear David in this. No. So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. In other words, David was alone on the ground and fasting. His servants weren't with him in this. Then on the seventh day, it came to pass that the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, indeed, while the child was alive, we spoke to him, and he would not heed our voice. How can we tell him that the child is dead? He may do some harm. He may do some harm. We get scared with people, too, like when we wonder how people are going to take things. You know, are you at home? Are you sitting down? We're going to tell people in person, because we don't know how people are going to react to bad news, specifically news along this order. And so we see here that the actions David took pleading with God were in hope that the child would live. Even though God told him the child would die, he believed God for the life of the child. David would not heed the voice of his servants because he was focused on pleading with God. And I understand that because David experienced the mercies of the Lord all his life. He had we call them the sure mercies of David. Psalm 89 talks about it. And David, all throughout the Psalms, and God had mercy upon him. He would only heed the voice of God, which he understood to be no, quote unquote, no, to his request, evidenced by the child's death. So he wouldn't listen to his servants, but he would listen to the voice of God in this matter. David wouldn't act out in grief because God took his child. David understood that God was sovereign. Excuse me. So they finally go in and they tell David the child is dead. So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. Why did he change his clothes? Because most likely he had on mourning garments. You know, they mourn in sackcloth and ashes and so forth. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he went to his own house. And when he requested, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servant said to him, what is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food. Now, so when God said no to David, David didn't act out. David didn't lose his mind. David went in, prepared himself, and he went and worshiped the Lord. He went and worshiped the Lord. When God says no, the correct response, now, well, in David's case, it was in particular, but when God says no, we're to worship the Lord. We're to worship the Lord. Reminds us of Job. Job chapter 1 verse 20 said when all these things happened to Job, the Bible says that Job fell to the ground and worshiped God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. David's response was similar. When he found out the child was dead, he got up from the ground from his mourning. He anointed himself, washed himself, changed his clothes, and he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Now, what's interesting about this to me as I read the story, I can't go through all of this, but if you go back to chapter 11, there's constant mentions that the Bible says that David was up on top of his house. He was on top of his house when he should have been out fighting the battles, the Lord's battles, but he was on top of his house. And then it talks about, then he calls to Bathsheba, goes to the house of Uriah and asks for Bathsheba. And he keeps talking about his house and her house. This is the first mention of the Lord's house. In other words, David wasn't too consumed with the Lord's house while he was sinning, while he was doing the works of his flesh. He wasn't about the Lord's house. But when the child died, when God put an end to the works of his flesh, David turned around and went into the house of the Lord. In other words, David got his priorities right. He began to worship the Lord again. The death of the child showed David that though he was king, he was still subject to Almighty God. He was still subject to Almighty God. And you and I, we're kings and priests today. But listen, we are still subject to Almighty God. We can't go around and just do anything we want to.
Right. Amen.
Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because people in his day were saying, well, if God has forgiven us all of our sins, then we can just go sin like crazy. We can do whatever we want. Paul says, no. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Don't you understand that when Christ died, you died? Hello. So that when he rose, you also rose. How shall he who died to sin live any longer therein? And so, David, though he's king, he was still subject to Almighty God. God did what he said he would do to the child. God will keep his word. Why? Because God is just. God is just. Isn't all the wickedness going in the earth today? God is just, and no one's gotten away with anything. Period. David submitted himself to God. He went into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Now, God's no then in David's life restored him to a place of worship and obedience. Right? When I say worship, the image pops in our mind of, you know, singing songs, raising hands and all of this. And that is a part of worship. But in the Old Testament, the essence of worship is obedience, as well as in the New Testament. The essence of worship is obedience. You can sing songs and praise God all you want to, but if you're not obeying God, hello, in your private life, hello, You can come play instruments in the house of the Lord. We can dance and people come in, put on a face. You can all kind of way. But if you disobeying God and your prophet, that's where a true worship is. Hello.
Right.
Beseech you therefore, brother, Romans 12:1. By the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Present your body. So what we do with this body is an act of worship whereby we are to obey God.
Amen.
In this body. In the Old Testament, this is one of the consummate scriptures on worship. 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Samuel is saying, which does God prefer? Does he want sacrifice or does he want you to obey him, Saul? The rhetorical question, the answer to the rhetorical question is, yeah, he prefers obedience. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to eat than the fat of rams. No matter how we singing, jumping all around, and sadly, Hillsong ministry has been up in the news for years gone by because of all the sexual immorality going on in the church, where all of the worship songs for the past decade came out of. You know, everybody's singing worship songs, coming to find out all the craziness going on over there. Why? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Would the Lord rather us sing our songs and raise our hands? Or would he rather us love our neighbor according to his word? Or would he have us obey him in all aspects of what it means to be devoted to Christ?
Thanks.
Said this. He answered them and said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So David had been estranged from the house of the Lord. Why? Because he murdered a man, took his wife, and committed adultery with her. But God turned David back to himself through this time of reaping. When that child died, when the works of David's flesh died, David went back to the house of the Lord. Where he should have been all the while. Hello. Where he should have been committed. How did God turn David back? God did it through grace. God did it through grace. Consider this. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read this. In the morning it happened that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. David wrote a letter to Joab, and in the letter it says for Joab to kill Uriah. He sent the man with his own death warrant. Hello. How depraved is that? And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him, that he may be struck down and die. Now, people say, oh, take the life of a child. Well, God allowed David to kill Uriah. He allowed all of us to sin. He told Adam and Eve, he said, listen, the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. But God didn't keep them from eating it. God told them what his commandment was. So from this, God doesn't run up on people and no, people make up their mind. They're going to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so David sinned against God in unlawfully taking a man's life. In 2 Samuel 12:5, so David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. The man was himself. He didn't know it yet. And he said to Nathan, the Lord lived. David swore the Lord. He said, oh, yeah, you swear by the Lord. You have to keep that oath. Hello? David swore, saying, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. That's when Nathan said, thou art the man. My goodness, Lord Jesus. But I want you to see what God did. In verse 13, we read this. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Why did Nathan say that? I'll tell you why Nathan said it. Because according to the law, David was supposed to die. I mean, even by what God said to Noah, he said, the man who sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. In other words, if you murder somebody, you are to be murdered. Remember, the Old Testament was eye for eye, tooth for tooth, fire for fire. Man, you look, what you dish out is coming back to you. David broke the 6th, 7th, and 10th commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor's wife, donkey, anything. You should not covet any of it. David broke at least 3 commandments, whereby he was worthy or bound to die for his transgression.
Mm-hmm.
But the scripture says the Lord also has put away your sin. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, I don't know if David started singing right then, but when I read the Lord Jesus, see, because that's what God did for us. That's
my heart.
Where did the Lord put David's sin? Where did the Lord put David's sin? I'll tell you where the Lord put David's sin. We read in Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Yeah.
He was for
our iniquities. Mm-hmm.
Sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us
all.
That's where the Lord put David's sin, on the Lord Jesus Christ. David looked forward to the Messiah. We look backward to the Messiah, understanding that he died upon the cross for our sin. Amen?
Amen.
That's how God brought David to himself. God did not spare the works of David's flesh, but God spared David. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because God established an eternal covenant through David, through which God would bring his son, David's son, to sit upon his throne forever. So it was the covenant that God established with David, and it was strictly by grace.
Mm-hmm.
It was strictly by grace that God chose David to begin with, but it was also strictly by grace that David even continued in the covenant because God had mercy on him. And just like David deserved to die because of his sins, every one of us does too.
Amen.
Jesus said, this is the new covenant in my blood. We just celebrated it last week. Oh, thank you for the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because we are all sinners. We all still sin. Hello. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now, we are going to remain, just like David remained, by the grace of God, to see God fulfill his covenant. We're going to see God take us into glory. But what we won't see, David didn't see that child continue. The works of his flesh, the fruit of his sin, the works of our flesh, they're not going to continue before God. No, no, no. They are not going to continue before God. So we end with 2 Samuel 12:22. And he said, while the child was alive, they asked him, why are you acting this way? I mean, now you're going in and you cleaned yourself up. He said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live? David had it mixed up. David thought the Lord would be gracious to me if the child would live. No, the works of our flesh are not going to remain before God. God was gracious to David in that David lived, not the child.
Right.
David was the one who deserved to die. David was the one who was a covenant breaker.
Mm-hmm.
David was the one who brought reproach upon the Lord. But the Lord had mercy upon David, just like the Lord had mercy upon us. I'm the one who didn't deserve anything. I don't deserve my next breath. But God, because of his grace, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is why every day we give thanks to God, because here we are, by the grace of God, literally by the grace of God. So the Lord was indeed gracious to David, but not as he had hoped. Not as he had hoped. He was gracious because God allowed David to continue in the covenant. Now that he is dead, why should I fast? In other words, David accepted the fact that God ended the works of his flesh. David accepted that God said no. He said no. He said, I can't bring the child back. I can't bring the child back. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's beautiful about this whole scenario is that God said no to this child of David. But God wholly loved the next child that David and Bathsheba had. This child God said no to, the works of his flesh. But the next child, whom they call Jedidiah, which means loved of the Lord. The next child would actually be the child who would sit upon the throne of David and through whom the line of kings would come. And in Matthew chapter 1, he's listed in the genealogy of Jesus, of Joseph, the supposed father of David. His name is Solomon. God rejected the child of sin, the child of David's flesh, but he accepted David's children after David repented and got right with God. Isn't that beautiful? So God's no was attached to David, was so that David could be restored to proper worship. God's no was so that the works of the flesh would not endure before him, because according to what? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, no flesh will glory in my presence. No flesh will glory in my presence. Listen, when we all get to heaven, there will be no flesh running around saying, I did this, I did that, and look at what I accomplished. No, it won't be any of that. No flesh will glory in God's presence. All the glory belongs to God and God alone.
Amen.
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 All right. Any comments or questions on the teaching?
Yeah. I had two questions back.
All right.
You just answered the second question. So.
Okay.
But I'll let you know what the question is.
Okay.
So the first one is, was David wrong in pleading with God for God to spare the life of the child?
No. Just like we're not wrong. I'll give you an example. So Dolores, when we were meeting on Wednesday nights in the building, I was talking about the will of God. And praying that prayer is about God's will, not our will. Okay, because when you pray, say, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what Jesus said to pray. Now, yeah. Dolores said, well, Pastor, can I also pray my will? I said, sure, go right ahead. Yeah. I mean, but know that your will has to coincide with the will of God. That's when they're answered. Hello. God's not going to answer your will if it's a contrary to his will. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page, right?
Amen.
You know, right. Because no, Jesus said, if you ask anything according to, First John 5:13, if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us and we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. if we ask according to his will. So David could ask, he could ask to be blue in the face. He could ask all he wants. But guess when David's asking stopped? He wasn't wrong to ask. God didn't rebuke him for asking. The child simply died. Well, when the child died, David said, okay, all my asking, okay, I'm done. I'm done. You know, God has made clear. God is sovereign. God has answered me, about healing this child. And the answer is no. And David humbly submitted himself to God's answer.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so the second one we already answered, but the question was, did David have a second child with Bathsheba?
Yes, he did. And that's the beautiful thing about it, is that after God restored David, now David did confess, you know, I have sinned, and the Lord said through Nathan, you shall not die. But for David to want that child to continue, the works of his flesh, the remainder, after David killed the man, took his wife, committed adultery. In other words, David wanted no consequence for sin. Let's be clear. If you and I sin today, that's a consequence to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I got one amen there. Listen
there.
Christians, there are consequences to sin. Amen. You go out and sin. You say, but God's going to forgive me. Yes, God will forgive you. But you have to live with the consequences of your sin.
Amen.
If you go out and sleep with someone and get herpes or AIDS you have to live with that. God, you know, God's not bound. God's not obligated to take that away. Right? And so after David was restored, after David fully came around and went into the house of the Lord and worshiped and got his relation, confessed his sins before God, we read it in Psalm 51. Then the next child that David had, he was loved of the Lord. God loved that child. See?
Amen.
So David's fully restored by the grace of God. Amen. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Kweku. Good questions.
Thank you.
Well, this is Carl. I've been sick for a couple of days, so thank you guys for praying for me. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I look at this, and I know we're just men and seeking to understand our God. And I want to preface this with this. I know he has loved us with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, he draws us. And that our whole purpose is to be with him. So I know that. I know that he loves us all. When I look at this story, however, you know, the man did, you know, David killed the guy. The punishment comes on David. But in the end, David does get this guy's wife. David does have a baby. The baby does become the king. God does love the second son. And it, you know, there is so much, and I'm not saying this to get an answer from Pastor. I'm saying there is so much that I don't understand about this story and how it worked out that I need, you know, I'm happy to wait for God to explain it to me when I see him. But, you know, God, isn't it a nice, neat, organized little box, guys? You know what I mean? We know this above all things, that he loves us and that he's loved us with an everlasting love and that we can trust him. But as far as my mental understanding of this, whoa, I got to wait for God to break this down for me. You know what I'm saying? Because it, you know, my mind ain't wrapped around this thing quite, you know? And so I thank God this, that beyond my understanding, I know he loves us and that we belong to him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, amen. I'll say this just shortly. I get your point and I get your feeling. And I'll say this. Much of the explanation as to why this is why God allowed it is because what human being could God use, could God come into covenant with who was sinless, who didn't have something that we could point to and say, he's jacked up. There ain't no way. But that's the nature of grace. Because if God didn't forgive David and establish David and thereby the covenant, we couldn't come to God. Us Gentiles would not be saved. God would have to destroy all over again the whole world. The whole world, because we come up and say, well, why didn't Noah make it? That's not fair. Why didn't Noah and his children make it? God had to choose somebody to have grace on. But we can't say, why did God have grace on them? Because if we say, why did God have grace on them? The fingers are pointed back at us and saying, well, why did God have grace on us? We all deserve to die. Just like David. I'm seeing everybody deserve to be wiped out.
Amen.
God's grace. Adam and Eve deserved to be toast.
Right.
But God killed the lamb. And he made them clothes and covered their nakedness. I mean, what grace? This is why we say, this is why Micah 7:18 says this. Who is a God like you? Who is a God like you? Just what Colin said. Yeah, is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the transgression of your people.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But that's the nature of grace.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, if we really, when it becomes clear to us how much we deserve to die and be eternally separated from God, let me tell you something. We will understand why our worship will be eternally expanded, eternally given up to God, because we are so lost, so depraved, so sinful. And all you have to do is turn on the news every day. It says this kid in Washington State, 15-year-old, killed his father, mother, and 3 siblings. And he shot another one, couldn't kill her, didn't kill her. How do you do something like that? How does a 15-year-old do something like that? Demons aside. I mean, I get it. You know, he had to have a legion. He had to have a couple legions, something. But we're living in a world like that where we're so depraved, and every one of us deserves death to the nth degree, but for the grace of God. That's what's blowing my mind, is why David, Abraham, anybody, God, you are so, this love, this grace, how you are so, we are so unlike you. This, who is a God like you? This is what it does to me, is what the prophet Micah said. So, I mean, for all of eternity, we're going to be saying, who is like him? Who is the Lord? Amen?
Amen.
Anyone else?
Amen.
Anyone
else?
There's a lot to unpack from this passage, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the word today. And I just thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Burn it love to light.
Yeah, and I'm praying. Amen. All of us. God would Amen. Continually open up our understanding. Open
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
You know, Amen. Listen, the homosexual, lesbian, transgender, none of them deserve to live. But neither do we.
Amen.
Come on now.
Did you hear me? Amen. So neither do we.
Amen.
Oh, Amen. Lord Jesus, help us. Nobody, no one. Oh, Lord God. So God, Romans 2, Paul said, God concluded all under sin, Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, you know, God have mercy on us, and may the gospel of Jesus Christ, Pastor Bill prays every week, that we would be able to share the gospel of Jesus with whomever who will hear the good news. But clearly, the whole world needs to hear the good news and understand that none of us deserve it, but it's here by the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Church.
Thank you for being faithful and on. And the Lord bless the balance of your day and your week.
Amen.
Amen.
Bye now.
Bye.